May I invite us to turn our Bibles back to 2 Peter and chapter 1. 2 Peter and chapter 1. We continue studying together on a portrait of a conscientious Christian. Last Lord's Day, we continued on looking at the principle of knowledge. And we ended at asserting that no man can know God fully unless God himself reveals himself to such a man. And again, we did try to clarify that it's not possible for man to comprehend the vastness of God. God is so great and beyond measure that our finite minds cannot wrap around the being of God. And we noted that the Apostle Peter's desire was for the people to appreciate the great God they have on their side. That regardless them running around for their lives, as they were persecuted, they still needed to know that regardless what they were going through, on their side they had this great majestic God who ordained all things that were happening in their lives. So we did look closely at the knowledge the Apostle Paul, or rather Peter, was inferring or desiring these individuals to have had something to do with the personal being of God. Basically saying, you have to know God. And he's saying you need to be familiar with God, but not that sinful kind of familiarity. Familiar with God with a perimeter of reverence. He is God, and he ought to be treated with reverence. This knowledge was supposed to be, or is supposed to be, intimate knowledge, according to the measure that God has revealed himself to us. We know him, and we serve him. Allow me to read from, or for us, from 1 Peter chapter 1. Reading from verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. In your self-control, perseverance. In your perseverance, godliness. In your godliness, brotherly kindness. And your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. I love the way Peter ends this section. He says, in this way, with all this knowledge, if you have these qualities, in this way, it is affirming that there will be an abundant supply of entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And it is given to those who know Christ. Now I want us to move on and look at another element as to what Peter had in mind when he used this word. Remember, I had brought two definitions with regards knowledge. There is knowledge of God, and that's what we spent time looking at. What is it that we need to know concerning this God? Because of that compound word, epignosis. Toward, having knowledge toward or upon something or someone. And we spent time looking at the personal being of God. But today, I want us to spend time and look at knowledge particular to man. Knowledge particular to man. What is it that we need to know? What is it we need to know about ourselves and in relation to this great God? Because what we noticed last Lord's Day, verse 2, verse 3, verse 7, as well as chapter 3 and verse 18, the word which was used there was having knowledge toward, like having knowledge of God. Having the true knowledge of Christ and having the true knowledge concerning this Jesus in verse 3 and verse 18. He says, grow in knowledge and you have to grow in knowledge, and that's knowledge concerning Christ. Now, this is the knowledge that is connected to having a proper perception with regards to the person of God. But the word the Apostle Peter uses in verse 5 is the word gnosis. It's the word gnosis. Now, this is the word which primarily focuses on practical wisdom. It focuses on practical discernment. It's the kind of knowledge that should impact one's life as they live. Now, this makes a lot of sense. The Apostle Peter, firstly, needed to remind the believers that their preoccupation, first and foremost, is God. But now he comes down and he reminds them on how they need to apply that same knowledge concerning God in their day-to-day life. This is practical knowledge. And I'm going to borrow the term which many theologians tend to use. This knowledge primarily is experiential knowledge. It's experiential knowledge. This stems down from you knowing God. This is not the knowledge that has to do with how old one is or how long one has lived on this side of the grave. But this knowledge has more to do with how much you have experienced walking in the grace of God. Two different things. And again, I'll say, like I said last week, the level of our knowing of God differs based upon the level of devotion that one has. You can be one who was born again not too long ago, but because of your level of devotion and your giving into knowing this God, there is exponential growth that the Lord God puts upon such an individual. There is experiential knowledge. You are walking with the Lord. You are learning from the Lord. You are taking in much of what God has revealed about himself in your life and applying them to your day-to-day life. But there can also be someone who has known the Lord God for so many years, and yet the level of growth might be less comparatively to the other person that was recently converted. It all comes down to the level of your devotion to him. And that is the aspect which Peter wants these individuals to appreciate. Knowledge. Experiential knowledge. The beauty with this knowledge is it affirms, first and foremost, your relational stance to God. You know him, he knows you. There is a relationship. That's where it all begins from. There is an element of you having an understanding. You have this gift of salvation given to you. And by and large, it also means that not every individual can have this knowledge. Not every person living on this side of the grave will have this knowledge. This is the knowledge only reserved for those that know God. And it comes when you have a closer walk with God. A closer walk with God. So this is very fundamental. The basis of this knowledge is not only having a perception concerning God that is correct, as revealed in the creation, as revealed in the Word of God, but it is embracing or appropriating God in your life. Having Christ at the very center of your soul, at the very center of your life. He becomes your all in all. He becomes your everything. This is the experiential knowledge that Peter wants these individual Christians to appreciate. He wants them to realize how different and unique they are. This is the knowledge which not only brings salvation, but affirms that one is saved. This knowledge that brings salvation is not based upon feelings. This knowledge which Peter wants these believers to appreciate is not based upon an intuition. I just felt like. This knowledge is not based upon the one's emotional constitution, if that makes sense. It does not depend upon the personal experience in life. It has everything to do with what God himself has revealed. So, this knowledge that brings about salvation and keeps one in the saved state is the one that is only revealed in the gospel. It is the one that is revealed in the gospel when the gospel is preached and someone embraces it and treasures it and lives by that truth and experiences the goodness of the Lord. And not only in good times, but also in bad times. When I think about these things, dear ones, I do not know about you, but I try to place myself in their shoes. Where we are today, and I don't want to trivialize the whole aspect of knowing and appreciating the knowledge that comes through the revealed truth of God. But with us, we have so many resources which we can read, and we can also weigh the level of our growth based upon our devotion to God. The way I used to read the scriptures might be different. The way I am praying might be different. There is something that you can pinpoint. And you are in your comfort of your home. You have a loving wife and loving children, and everything is all right. And then the Lord is demanding of us to have this experiential knowledge in the comfort of our homes. Now, can you think about the Christians that were running for their lives, day in, day out? And then Peter says, have the experiential knowledge. You know the objective response to that? It's because of this knowledge that I'm being persecuted. It's because of this same Christ whom I have embraced that my life is being threatened. I think it was very difficult for the believers at that time, as Peter writes this letter to them. Know God, know His truth, live by Him, depend on Him, look to Him every day for grace, for strength and sustenance. And I believe their response for the most part was in affirmative, because it was an honor for them to die for the name of Christ. So it should be with us. We may not die like right now someone comes and guns us down for the name of Christ, but we'd be willing to even be persecuted for the name of Christ. I just thought that was something which was on my mind every time I read this section or the letter that Peter wrote. I just cannot divorce my mind to try to think of the original recipients and how they received the truth of God. The Apostle Peter, I believe that's why, if you go to chapter number 3, he's reminding them the motivation for all of this. Grow in grace. That is experience of God's grace. Grow in grace. Grow in knowledge of Him. In other words, everything and anything and everything that is about Christ, you have to know. If it is within reach, if it is revealed, and use that information as you live day in, day out. And as you do so, you are growing. It is to that I believe the Apostle Paul was in tune with what Peter had said. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 puts his heart to the fore, revealing his passionate pursuit in his life. His desire was to know Him. Now, it's interesting. You think about the man who's saying, my desire, my goal in life is to know Him. The Him is Christ. To know Him and the power of resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering and being conformed to His death. This is the Apostle Paul. This is the man, if we are using this word loosely, the spiritual giant. And he says, my passion in life, my goal in life, my desire in life, my preoccupation, regardless my position as an apostle, the thing that I pursue mostly in my life is to know Him. To know Him. If Paul, who saw Jesus on his way to Damascus, who got blinded by that piercing light, who heard the voice of Christ, he conversed with Christ, He was called on to be the apostle. And he said he was going to show to him how much he was going to suffer for Christ. I should say there was a level of Paul knowing Christ, because Christ called him. Now what is interesting is Paul, despite him being called the apostle of Christ, he desired to know him. He desired to have a closer relationship with him, to have an intimate understanding of who this God is, revealed in his Son. He wanted to understand, as it were, the power of resurrection. He wanted to understand the hope there is in Christ. He wanted to have fellowship in the suffering of Christ and the death of Christ. He wants to experience what Christ experienced, in other words. Paul had this all-consuming desire. His desire was that he may be transformed into the likeness of Christ. You cannot miss it when you read the writings of Paul. His desire was Christ. He actually said, cursed he would be if he did not proclaim the gospel of Christ. He said he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That is someone who has experienced the forgiving grace of God. Someone who has experienced the love of God. And in their mind, there is no shred of doubt of who this God is. I have seen God work in time past. I have heard of him. But now I am experiencing this great God. This is the kind of knowledge Peter wanted the believers to have. What is the root of this knowledge? The gracious salvation. Because they are saved, they have to have this knowledge. Because you are saved, dear ones, you have to have this knowledge. Look at the Apostle Peter's language. 2 Peter 1. Now look at verse 8. He says, for if these qualities are yours, that includes the quality of knowledge. If these qualities are yours, and are increasing in them, he says, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. The Apostle Paul, rather Peter, uses this interesting word. He says, if they are yours and increasing in them, you are growing in them. That is... the motivation. It means there is a level of knowledge that comes to those who know the Lord. And there is also a level of growth that comes upon those that know the Lord. And that growth comes as you continue on experiencing the goodness of the Lord. So the Lord God, in his mercy, he's the one who furnishes us with the knowledge to know. In fact, in Proverbs 2, 4 through 6, he speaks of seeking silver, or seeking that which is a hidden treasure. You are always in search, you are always looking for. And what is it that we are looking for? We want to know him. We want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Now, this experiential knowledge is only for those that fear God. Because they are saved, they live every day with reverent fear of God. Now that fear is not necessarily there to chase us away or run away from God. It is the disposition of the heart that worships and adores and honors God. You are respectful before God. You are reverent as you go before God. You are giving yourself to knowing Him because you revere Him so much. And you desire to know this great God who is above all other gods. This experiential knowledge, it's only for those that harness the fellowship, or rather the relationship they have with God. They are the ones who grow in this knowledge. They are the ones to whom God has Himself revealed. We read in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. Isaiah 33 and verse 6. And He will be the stability of your times, a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. So these are them to whom God Himself has revealed Himself. He has revealed Himself as we sang the hymn tonight, in what He has created. But He has also revealed Himself in the Scriptures. He has revealed Himself to us. He has revealed Himself through His Son. And we know Him. But again, this experiential knowledge, it is for the obedient children. It is for the obedient children. They are the ones who are given to obey the demands of God, the biddings of God, and they lavish to know what pleases God. Remember last time I did mention, in fact, Hosea made mention of this. How God is displeased with the ignorant children of God. And I tend to believe that there is a link between your obedience to God and your knowledge of God. The principle behind is you cannot obey something or someone you do not know. You can only obey God because you know Him. The greatness of God is known to you. The truth of God revealed is known to you. What God demands of you is known to you. As an obedient child, you will not pursue the things that displeases your father, but you pursue the things that are called for the glory and the praise of His name. Think Peter in 1 Peter 1 and verse 14. He says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance. So you are ignorant, you are able to live anyhow as you pleased. You pursued anything in this world because you lived as someone who did not know God. But now that you are someone who knows God, the Lord God expects out of you to obey Him. And in your obedience, you need to know Him. That's why I believe if We truly are to be perfected in the image of Christ through the knowledge of Him. Our devotion to God should not be something that someone compels you to carry out. You have, if you know Him, you've got to take it personal. This is me in relation to my God. I know Him. I know what He desires. I know what He pleased, what He's pleased with. And I'll do that. I do not need someone to tell me to have the quiet time. Because I know Him. And what He desires out of me. When we gather together for prayer meeting, it should be something that you know, I need to treasure my God, and I'll go gather together with those that love God, and we'll raise our voices together in one accord because I know Him. I will open up the Word of God and I will read, not because there is a year plan that I need to read by, but because God compels me to read and I want to know Him. So there is a link between obedience to God and knowledge of God. If you know God, you obey Him. If you do not know God, no one expects you to obey Him. No one expects me to obey Him. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, we'll learn something of Paul's desire for the believers in Ephesus. And then he begins to explain how far we need to go to know God. It is in his prayer, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. And we'll read down to verse 19. Ephesians 4, 14. Through 19. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed to and fro chapter 3 and verse 14. He says, for this reason I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. Why is the question? Verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, what are the results? He says, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now it's interesting when you look at the wording the Apostle Paul puts down. This basically is saying you have to experience the goodness of God. This is his prayer. He acknowledges the Father who is in heaven and before whom every man bows his knee. If that is your Father, that is in reverent fear. From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives the name. What is that name? That we are Christians, that we are the children of God, that we are the saints of God Most High. That he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, according to the riches of his glory, he would grant to us what? He says his strength, power of the Spirit in the inner man or the inner self, that you be rooted, that you be grounded. In verse 19, he speaks about the love that is in Christ, which surpasses all knowledge. That's the incomprehensibility of God's love revealed in Christ. But he's saying that you be filled with such. It takes experience. It takes walking with God. Having a closer walk with him. But there is also doctrinal knowledge. And I think that's what we spent time looking at last week. But this doctrinal knowledge has more to do with what the Bible says. What does the scripture say? It's not what I think I'd say to you or what someone else would think I'd say to you. It has everything to do with what God himself has said. That I'm trying to be sensitive not to divulge that idea because there is an element specifically apportioned to the knowledge which brings about growth, and that is biblical knowledge. But in all of these things, dear ones, what we are knowing, or rather learning together, is the Lord God in his grace, he saved us. And in his saving of us, he desires us not to be far removed from him. But because we've been drawn close and we've been brought closer to him through that reconciling blood of his son, we have to keep a closer walk with him. We have to keep a closer walk with him. There's a little book written by the man whose name is Gardner Springs. The name of the book is Distinguishing Traits of Christian Character. This is something that he said concerning the doctrines of the gospel. He says, no man is warranted to believe himself a Christian who is profoundly ignorant of the truth revealed in the sacred scriptures. In other words, we cannot call ourselves the children of God, the Christians, if we do not know the sacred writings of the scriptures, doctrinal knowledge. And he goes on giving the implications to that. He says there can be no spiritual knowledge. He's using a different term, spiritual knowledge, to special revelation. No spiritual knowledge where there is no speculative knowledge. Now, speculative knowledge, that is general revelation. He says God cannot be loved where he is not known. Sin cannot be detested where its nature is not discerned. Christ cannot be confided in where his character and sacrifice are not perceived. Duty cannot be performed where the mind does not comprehend its nature and obligations. And he says truth is both the instrument of grace, of gracious affections, when produced in the soul, and the nourishing of them in all their subsequent growth and enlargement. So it comes down to this spiritual knowledge, doctrinal knowledge, the truth of God. So its root is the Lord Himself revealing Himself to us. This knowledge is only rooted in God. But this knowledge is also guarded by the Scriptures. Guarded by the Scriptures. The knowledge of God is revealed in the Word of God. And the Word of God sets the parameters so that our claiming of knowing Him is not based upon what He has revealed in His Word concerning Himself. We'll not speak much on that. I'll end my preaching right here. We'll come and carry on this coming Lord's Day, the other coming Lord's Day. But I want to encourage us with these words, dear ones. We have been given everything. All things that pertains to life and godliness, as the Scripture says. The level of growth, maturity, and usefulness in the kingdom of God is not dependent upon any other person, but upon yourself and myself. I can be the hindrance to my knowing God, myself. Or I can give myself wholly and completely to knowing this God and live a surrendered life in service to Him and to His church. It all comes down to you and to me, dear ones. The Apostle Peter, as he writes this letter, I don't think he was speaking to them collectively. He wanted them to apply these principles individually. It's all upon you. And it's all dependent upon me. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, this my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be. Dear Lord, let it be. A closer walk with you. That is all dependent on you. So it is you and it is me to grow or to stunt my growth in knowledge of Him. May God help us as we strive to know Him and serve Him better. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you are such a faithful and gracious God. Thank you that we can know you personally, individually, and that we can relate to and with you. Thank you for the salvation which you've given to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank that, Lord, we can experience your faithfulness, your grace, your forgiveness daily in our lives on this side of the grave. Far be it from us that, Lord, we would hinder our growth and usefulness in your kingdom because we are not given to knowing. Help us, our Father, to lavish every single time given to us, spent in your presence, spent in your word, meditating upon your goodness, and that you grow us more and more in the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May you bring us to the point where we can echo the words of the Apostle Paul, whose desire was to know you, whose desire was to have fellowship in the suffering of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. His desire was to know the power of the resurrection. Our Father, we pray that you would grant grace to us, that you would cause us to know, and grant obedient hearts to us, that since we know, that we would obey you. We thank you, Lord, for today. We entrust ourselves, Lord, to you in this week that lie ahead of us. We pray for your guiding hand, you ordering our steps, you causing us, Lord, to be conscious of your ever abiding presence with us. Help us to be gentle one with the other, to be humble, but also to grow more and more in grace and knowledge of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.